From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of June 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll look into the ag news for the day, including Chinese trade, the ethanol announcements by U.S. EPA earlier in the day, and a quick look into the Farm Bill. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and oh, here an update, speaking of weather, on the weekly crop conditions from USDA state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, and Missouri. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Tuesday, we're now joined by Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
I hear you got another rain shower there today.
Oh, we got a shower and a half, I'll tell you. We had about a little over 2 inches in less than 40 minutes. And we have little ponds in the back of the office here today and a little bit of a swimming pool in the basement. But, you know, that's one thing with this. We're looking at the possibility of some warm and possibly a spell of dry weather coming into during pollination time. But our corn crop is very well watered going into that.
Yeah, so what are they telling you about how soon pollination will happen within the next couple of weeks?
We're starting to see a few tassels pop out over here. I think that we'll be in the middle of pollination within the next 10 to 14 days over here. And it, like I say, there does seem to be some weather. The question is, if we have lots of moisture, will we cook it? We know that there's a couple of the weather firms out there. They're talking about extremely warm overnight, the lows being very high, which means the lows not going below 70, 72 degrees, after we get into this hot weather for about 10-day time period there. With the new hybrids, if they weren't watered, even with those, why we'd see a little bit of a setback. But we are wondering how much effect it will really have. But without this moisture, plus or excessive moisture that we have here, so well watered, why we would look at a little more worrisome going into that time period.
I take it that was the reason the corn managed to hang on to some gains today, while the wheat and the soybeans took some losses, I suppose, again on global trade issues.
Oh, I think, yeah, we've got a lot of crazy things. Yesterday we said that we're going to probably limit Chinese investment in technology type firms or with Rich, and today we said we aren't going to do that. But it does look like the Chinese are looking ahead. They removed the tariffs on India and other Asian nations like Korea on the bean tariffs for beans coming to China. Not that they have a lot of beans, but they are trying to look like they're trying to get along with things. South Korea did buy some corn from us today. We're seeing the excessive rain keeping things a little bit in control, adding a little support to the market and some position evening for the report on Friday. Of course, that's when we're going to talk about stocks and also the planted acres. So that can be some big numbers that will change the balance sheet around if they change those much.
Anything else that we should look ahead to, including, I suppose, July 6th, but we talk about that a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, so those are the things. So at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, we'll have to have those numbers up, and the stocks and the acreage report are both due out at that same time. Thanks much for being with us today. Anything else before I let you go?
Yeah, if you got a tank of gas, if your gas tank is towards low, crude's up $2 today, try to catch the gas stations before they raise the price.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that hint. That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. On Friday morning, USDA not only will release those numbers, the acreage figures and the grain stocks at 11 a.m., but earlier that day, I will be in Assumption at Assumption Fest. There's a free breakfast there from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And at 8:30, I'll be joined up on stage by Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Ellen Dearden from AgriView, Kim Holzapfel from TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, and Dan Zwicker from Zwicker Consulting. He's still in the state, though. He lives in Waco, Texas. He's here visiting his father. If you get the opportunity to come out, we'll be in the tent right there across from Sloan's John Deere. It's easy to find in Assumption, not that big a place, just south of Decatur. And love to have you there. You can find all the details on our website at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, U.S. EPA today released the 2019 Renewable Volume Obligations, or RVOs, as related to the RFS. That's the law which requires the nation's gasoline supply to be supplemented with renewable fuels. EPA is upping the ante on biodiesel and maintains the 15-billion-gallon corn ethanol target. However, it's what EPA did not include in the proposal that may really matter, says Emily Score from Growth Energy. She says the EPA's proposed 15 billion gallons for conventional biofuels isn't a real number corn farmers can count on. EPA's plan fails to ensure those corn ethanol gallons will be blended by neglecting to reallocate gallons lost to waivers that have already been extended to refiners. University of Illinois agricultural economist Scott Irwin says his position on the announcement is that if no reallocation holds in the final rulemaking, it will be, quote, a death blow to the central purpose of the RFS, and a major win for refiners. Going on in a tweet earlier today to write, if no reallocation stands, then the North Star of the RFS will be destroyed by administrative fiat, not by Congress. Irwin has called the market-forcing domestic blend mandate the North Star of the RFS. He says Congress intended for 15 billion gallons of ethanol to be used in the nation's gasoline supply. U.S. EPA has reduced that amount by about 1.5 billion gallons through the issuance of waivers, and it appears those will stand, and by extension, that more may be issued in the future. Well, from Washington to China, Terry Branstad, the longest-serving governor in U.S. history, some 21 years, who now serves as U.S. ambassador to China, told AgriPulse and other journalists in Beijing yesterday that China cannot possibly be surprised that another country would offer criticisms of policies that could create an unfair trade arena. These issues have been raised again and again and again, not just by the United States, but by other countries as well, said Branstad. President Donald Trump has levied tariffs against $50 billion worth of Chinese goods, and another $200 billion are poised in the wings should that trade fight not be moved forward prior to July 6th. Despite the back and forth, Mr. Trump told Branstad in the Oval Office last week that he does want to get this resolved. But that doesn't mean the president, who prides himself on deal-making, will allow himself to be sold short. I've tried to explain to the Chinese, says Branstad, that this new administration is not as patient as America has been in the past, and that the U.S. administration is not willing to accept a few crumbs, that it wants to see more real fundamental change that occurs in the near future, and not just 3 or 5 years out. But there is, of course, a palpable sense, writes AgriPulse, of concern from U.S. officials that China could simply play the long game on the trade dispute, a luxury that might not be there for Americans at the negotiating table. Mr. Trump will have to run for re-election in 2020. Chinese President Xi Jinping was just successful in eliminating term limits from his nation's constitution. Should this turn into a long-term fight, that could play into the hands of the Chinese. What's more, Chinese retaliation could take the form of actions other than tariffs. Last week, China began to ratchet down the value of its own currency on the global market, making it cheaper to buy Chinese-made goods for import, and this morning, it eliminated a small import tariff on soybeans and other feedstuffs arriving from South Korea, India, and other Asian nations. And finally today, we'll come back to the United States and look into the Farm Bill. Shortly after the Senate voted to proceed with debate on the Farm Bill last night by a vote of 89-3, Senate Ag Chairman Pat Roberts told reporters he wants sweeping agriculture and nutrition legislation to pass before the 4th of July recess. Roberts told reporters yesterday that no decision had been made on whether to limit amendments, but no matter how the process plays out, a number of senators and interest groups are using this opportunity to push for a long list of changes and additions, ranging from tightening eligibility for farm subsidies to overhauling the sugar policy. Oh, and one other ag news note from Senator Roberts. He was asked if he'd had a chance to take a look at the White House reorganization plan for USDA, which seeks to move SNAP out of that agency and into HHS, a mega department that would be renamed the Department of Health and Public Welfare. His answer, "I haven't looked at it because we're not going to do it," was followed by a long pause and then, "Is that succinct enough for you?" And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report showing that as of Sunday, the 24th day of June, 5% of the corn crop around the nation had silked. That compares the rolling five-year average of 3%. 58% of the corn crop is in good condition, 19% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 59 and 19, respectively. 95% of the soybean crop has emerged. 89% is the rolling five-year average. 12% of that crop is blooming, 5% is the rolling five-year average, and it's said to be in 58% good and 15% excellent. That's the same as last week and just slightly above last year, which was at 56 and 10. 41% of the winter wheat crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 33%. The condition of that crop is said to be in 28% good, 9% excellent condition. Last week, those numbers were 30 and 9 respectively, and last year they were 40% and 9%. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Another week of storms, which delivered heavy precipitation across much of Iowa, resulted in just 2.1 days suitable for field work last week. Activities for the week included checking rain gauges, assessing flood damage, harvesting hay, and applying post-emergent herbicides when weather permitted. Heavy rainfall left many fields ponded and caused flooding in some northern counties. In south-central Iowa, the topsoil moisture supply rated adequate to surplus reached 66%, the highest percentage in these categories since the week ending June 4, 2017. 81% of the corn crop was rated in good to excellent condition. Nearly all of the soybean crop has emerged, with 4% of the crop blooming, 3 days ahead of both last year and the five-year average. 79% of the soybean crop was rated in good to excellent condition. 84% of the oat crop is headed 3 days ahead of average. 80% of the oat crop was rated in good to excellent condition. With the first cutting of alfalfa hay nearing completion, the second cutting reached 8% complete. Putting up hay was a challenge this week due to persistent precipitation. Hay condition rated 73% good to excellent. Pasture conditions rated 67% good to excellent. Heat and high humidity continue to stress livestock. Muddy conditions have made feedlot operations difficult. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Cooler weather came to Illinois last week, and rain came as well. Northern areas received more than 3 inches of rain, and the state averaged 2.25 inches of rain for the week, which was 1.25 inches above normal. For temperatures, the state average was still above normal, but only by 1.2 degrees. Accumulated growing degree days since May 1 range from 17% to 24% above normal around the state. Corn is silking on 2% of acres in Illinois. That compares to 2% 1 year ago and 1% for the five-year average. The condition of the corn crop was rated 3% very poor to poor, 14% fair, and 83% good to excellent, a little better than 1 week ago. Wheat harvest is now 66% complete, compared to 76% 1 year ago and 41% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 13% very poor to poor, 34% fair, and 53% good to excellent, a little worse than 1 week ago. 23% of soybean acres are now blooming, compared to 6% 1 year ago and 3% normally. 97% of soybean acres have emerged, compared to 92% normally. The condition of the soybean crop in Illinois was rated 4% very poor to poor, 18% fair, and 78% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Carla Kodelka, statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Wet weather across much of the southern part of Minnesota limited the state to 3.3 days suitable for field work. Field activities for the week included side dressing corn, applying herbicides, and baling hay. 89% of the spring wheat crop is jointed or beyond, 5 days ahead of the five-year average. Spring wheat headed reached 36%, 1 day behind last year, but 2 days ahead of average. Spring wheat condition improved slightly from last week, rating 86% good to excellent. Oats were 88% at or beyond the jointing stage, 2 days behind last year, but 5 days ahead of average. Oats were 43% headed or beyond. Oats condition improved slightly from last week and was rated at 82% good to excellent. 98% of the barley crop was emerged, with 75% at or beyond the jointing stage. Barley headed reached 27%, 3 days behind last year. Barley condition rated 84% good to excellent. Corn condition decreased slightly to 84% good to excellent. The soybean crop was 97% emerged, 4 days ahead of average. Soybean condition also decreased slightly from last week and rated 79% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Carla Kodelka.
This is Janice Presbury with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Nearly all areas of Indiana received rain last week, which helped soil moisture levels. Corn silking was 2% compared to 2% last year and 1% five-year average. Soybeans were 97% emerged compared to 89% last year and 91% five-year average. Soybeans blooming were 8% compared to 2% last year and 3% five-year average. Winter wheat mature was 79% compared to 84% last year. Winter wheat harvested was 28% compared to 33% last year and 20% five-year average. Rain last week provided relief to corn and soybean fields that exhibited drought stress at the beginning of the week. Soybeans blooming was progressing at a quicker pace than last year. The southern portion of the state received less rain and was able to make greater progress with wheat harvest. Rain aided in rejuvenation of pastures and hay fields. Other activities for the week included hauling grain, mowing roadsides, and preparing for the county fair. This is Janice Presbury reporting.
This is Bob Greeno with the National Agricultural Statistics Service. For the eighth week in a row, Missouri temperatures were above average, though by a smaller margin than the preceding 7 weeks. The average precipitation statewide was 0.87 inches, 0.2 inches below normal. All areas of the state received rain, with eastern parts generally receiving the most. In several areas, over an inch and a half fell. The area of Missouri in drought expanded, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. As of June 19th, most areas north of the river and west of Herman, Missouri, were either in Stage 1 or moderate drought, or in Stage 2 or severe drought. The area now makes up about 30% of the state. Looking at the crops individually, silking was reported on 11% of corn acres, 5 points ahead of the five-year average for this time of year. Corn condition was rated 2% very poor, 14% poor, 38% fair, 41% good, and 5% excellent. 93% of soybeans reported emerged, 18 points ahead of average. 4% of soybeans were blooming. Soybean condition was rated 3% very poor, 12% poor, 40% fair, 41% good, and 4% excellent. Winter wheat was 66% harvested, 19 points ahead of average. Winter wheat condition was rated 4% very poor, 11% poor, 38% fair, 43% good, and 4% excellent. This is Bob Greeno with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Corn Belt. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Don Dame. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A busy week in the weather, Don. Let's start with producers in the hard red winter wheat growing regions that are still bringing a crop in. What kind of conditions might they have to work under for the next few days?
Well, really nothing too bad. The trend is going to be warmer and drier here over the next 3 or 4 days. A thunderstorm and shower activity could return to some of those harvest areas, but it's a bit of a break, at least here for the next 3 or 4 days, before a little bit of thunderstorm activity this weekend.
Earlier in our program, we heard from the state statisticians about crop conditions across the Corn Belt. The folks in Iowa complained just a bit, reported that there was an awful lot of rainfall in the northwestern part of that state. Will they have a respite over the next week?
Not really. I mean, there's going to be some gaps, but the outlook for the next 10 days is more rain for same areas that have been getting rain, and some rain for some of the areas that are a little bit drier, like Missouri, far southern Iowa, and eastern Kansas. But it does look like there's opportunity for more shower and thunderstorm activity. Amounts of rain shouldn't be as heavy, but it's still going to be wet nonetheless. Now, on the flip side, they are going to get some help from the heat. Some pretty warm temperatures are coming in. That's going to help a little bit with evaporation. Really, in many areas, Todd, still looking at sort of that Goldilocks pattern where it's the right combination of heat and rainfall over the next week to 10 days.
And that goes across the whole of the Midwest. Of course, we're going into pollination, so it's above about 93 or 94 that creates a problem once we get about, 10 days out or so. It sounds like we're going to have those kind of temperatures in the near term, or at least by the time we get to this weekend.
Yeah, it looks that way, although it doesn't look like a semi-permanent high will settle in to give us those temperatures that would be a problem at pollination time, but rather some warmer weather coming, but with all the soil moisture in many areas, that acts as a bit of a governor from getting it too hot.
So that goes across the whole of the Corn Belt, I take it, from the west all the way through Ohio and the eastern part of the Corn Belt.
Yes, sir.
And then if you look to the Delta region, maybe to the southeast, what kind of conditions there?
Not unlike what's going to be happening across the Midwest and Corn Belt. There's going to be no tropical activity, but at the same time, a pretty active pattern of showers and thunderstorms across the central and eastern Delta, across the southeastern United States.
And finally, if you could come back to the Great Plains area, the Dakotas, North Dakota, maybe parts of southern Canada in that area, further to the west, outside of the Red River Valley, they had suffered tremendously last year with the drought. What kind of conditions have they had so far this year?
Well, it was a better winter and it was a better spring, and they saw definitely some big relief from what they experienced last summer. Now, that is one area of the country that is not as wet here in the next 7 to 10 days, but at the same time, there is some precipitation coming on the way. So there's certainly been improvement over the last 12 months and a pretty decent outlook here for the next week to 10 days.
Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.